It is 2 o'clock. As my name is Matt Pauly, coming your way from Busch Stadium, and we are awaiting a press conference that is expected to begin momentarily. We are going to hear from Cardinals Chairman Bill DeWitt II, Team President Bill DeWitt III, President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak, and also Chaim Bloom, who has been an advisor to the team. His role moving forward is probably going to be more explicitly stated today. It sounds like they are just about set to get things started. I believe I hear Brian Bartow's voice in the background, so we will
join us today with Cardinals.
We will take this live right here on KMOX.
Chairman Bill DeWitt Jr., President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak, and Cardinals Advisor Chaim Bloom. Starts off, Bill DeWitt Jr.
Thanks, Brian. Thank you all for coming. We're here to make a major announcement about our baseball operations leadership and strategy. Like many of our fans, we're disappointed with our results the past two seasons, but our goals remain unchanged: to consistently contend for NL Central titles and playoff appearances, and ultimately win the World Series. We've always prided ourselves on drafting and developing our own players. It is clear that we need to make significant changes to get back to this model. Our baseball decisions going forward will focus on developing our pipeline of players, giving our young core every opportunity to succeed at the major league level. The good news is that we have a strong group of young players, and we will continue to push for ways to get better in the short term. And our number one priority will be to lay the foundation for a sustained period of competitive excellence in the years ahead. Off the field, we're also making significant changes and will be entering a period of transition. Effective immediately, Chaim Bloom will oversee a reset of our player development system. As part of his assessment this past season, Chaim has developed a plan for improving our player development infrastructure and philosophy. We will be making significant new investments in staffing, programs, and infrastructure, beginning immediately and continuing in the years to come. One of these investments is in our Jupiter Complex, where we will be breaking ground on the new facility in April 2025 after our next spring training. Finally, Mo will continue to oversee baseball operations in 2025. Which will be his final year. Since taking over in this role in 2008, the Cardinals have won 6 Central Division titles, appeared in 4 wild card appearances, won 2 National League pennants, and 1 World Championship. All of that with only 1 losing season. After next season, Chaim will succeed Mo as President of Baseball Operations, and he has agreed to a 5-year contract beginning next year. We're excited about the future and committed to seeing this multi-year plan through. As we enter a period of significant organizational change, we believe this approach will give us the best chance of ensuring a smooth transition. Thank you, and now I would like to turn it over to Mo.
Thanks, Bill. Perhaps to your chagrin, you guys are stuck with me for another year, or you could think you're blessed. As you know, Gary LaRocque recently announced his retirement. I want to thank him for his years of dedication and service to the St. Louis Cardinals. He is one of the most respected men in the game of baseball, and he will continue as an advisor in 2025. Also effective immediately, Mike Gersh will assume the new role of Vice President of Special Projects. Gersh has been a tremendous partner to me and has been an asset to the Cardinal organization, and I look forward to working with him in his new role. I want to thank Gersh and Gary LaRocque for all their hard work, tireless hours, late nights. You guys made this job fun for me, so thanks, guys. The friendships over the past 30 years have been amazing, and I'm so grateful for those relationships. But as I turn the page to my final year in this role, there are some things I hope we can accomplish. I'd like to set us on a course to get back to consistent winning, focus on the buildup of our baseball operations, invest in new infrastructure and technologies, see the groundbreaking in Jupiter. You may ask yourself two simple questions. What is this and what is it not? What it is, it's a multi-year strategy, a focus on player procurement and development. It's a long-term investment in the organization's future. What is it not? It's not a Band-Aid solution, and this is not an excuse. Focus on the word change. Change. We need to make changes to realize our ultimate goal. The groundwork for these needed changes has already been laid, and many changes have already begun. The excitement to get back to winning, to getting back to October, is real. But we all understand this will take time, hard work to get back there. But we are committed to seeing this through. I look forward to working with the DeWitts, Heim, and the rest of our leadership group on the baseball operations side to ensure a smooth transition and lay the foundation for a development pipeline that meets the demands of the modern game, while honoring the traditions of the great organization, the St. Louis Cardinals. Thank you, and I'll turn it over to Heim.
Thanks, Mo, and good afternoon, everybody. I'm feeling thankful today. I'm thankful for the trust and the backing that the DeWitt family has shown me. I'm thankful for how welcoming Mo has been this whole year, and just for the example that he sets and how much he cares about this organization. And I'm thankful, most of all, for my family, my wife, my kids, their support and their love for me, their enthusiasm for this new journey. As you know, I joined the St. Louis Cardinals in January as fresh eyes for our entire operation, with an emphasis this year on player development. More than anything, the remarkable success this organization enjoyed for much of the past two-plus decades was fueled by its homegrown talent pipeline. This year, I saw some of the reasons why. I saw the pride in what's been accomplished here over the years, the passion for teaching the game, the care for the organization, for what it stands for, and especially for our players. And I also saw in many of our staff a hunger to learn, to grow, to get better, to change. And that's a good thing, because that's what we need. That's what this game demands. The competition in this area of our industry has been absolutely relentless over the past decade. It takes boldness and humility to get on top and to stay there. And if you stand still and you rest on your laurels for even a moment, you get beat. So as you've heard, to catalyze that change, the ownership has given the green light for us to make real investments across the department, now and going forward. That starts with finding and empowering new leadership in player development, which is a process that has already begun. I'm excited for what can happen when we combine the right new faces and new ideas with the potential of the folks who are already here, and the values and the culture that have sustained this great organization. There's a lot of work ahead of us. These days, given that competition, the bar for excellence in this area keeps getting higher. But the St. Louis Cardinals, at our best, are the organization that sets the bar for everyone else. And we can be again. It's not going to be easy. There will be successes. There will be bumps in the road. But we want it. We know our fans want it. I'm confident that we can get there, and I'm excited for the challenge. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen. Who has our first question? Please, again, remind them to raise your hand. Jeff Jones. Please tell Jeff who you're directing your question to.
Hi, you described the need for increased investment in player development after Edison and what you've seen over the year. Where do you see the need for that investment most acutely, and what does that look like from a tangible sense? What are the areas that you think that need to be invested in most?
You know, as far as most acutely, you know, I don't know that it's worth trying to rank them. I think really that gets into prioritizing in what order we do this. Obviously, finding the right leadership, first of all, getting those folks in their positions and set up, and then really helping me as we go forward and make those investments is going to be really important. Obviously, we've talked about the complex, and that was a process that was well underway before I got here. I'm really, really excited to see that come to fruition. Outside of that, You know, there's really a lot of different areas. That's what's exciting about this. There's so much opportunity for us to make positive change. I've heard over the course of the year, really good ideas come from within our organization. You know, I've got some ideas from my own experiences. We're going to have new ideas come into the organization and really figure out in all areas how we can make this as good as it can be.
Moe said repeatedly that next year will be his last year. Was there a temptation to elevate Heim immediately? How did that go back and forth? How did you make that decision to wait until 26?
Well, I think our number one priority is to build up our player development system. So having Heim in that role, I think, is really critical. Moe's done an excellent job over many years with the Cardinals. I think his record speaks for itself, and this past several years, the reason we did a two-year contract was because that was Mo's request, you know, we honored it. He's done a great job, and I think we have the best of all worlds here. He's going to see his tenure through, and Heim's going to be able to jump in and try to improve what we've done on player development, which is something he's done in the past. So, you know, we're really well set this year and beyond for our baseball ops.
Frank Cusimano.
John, what went into your thinking about wanting to stay in the line of fire for another year? How difficult was this?
Yeah, it seems a bit short-sighted, right, Frank? You know, I think that Bill stated it. He and I have been in discussions on what a succession plan might look like over the last few years, and I really felt like where we were at, it made sense to bring someone in. I was advocating very strongly to bring in Heim last offseason to just really get an assessment of where we are, what we need to do, and ultimately where we want to go. And so I think this partnership and this relationship over the next 12 months, albeit might make a few of you unhappy, but I'm certainly willing to do the walk because I feel like we're going to position ourselves really well. And ultimately, when you think about your own legacy and how you want to leave something, I'm certainly hopeful that it'll be left in a really solid place when I do step down next year.
Benjamin Hoffman.
For Bill DeWitt Jr., I just wanted to ask, the new direction, the minor leagues, investing in the minor leagues, how will that affect the major leagues, and do you plan on trading players with big contracts because of that?
You know, we haven't really assessed what our payroll will be next year, if that's sort of the question. But certainly putting a lot of resources towards player development is a key part of us being competitive year in and year out as the years go on. So, you know, it's an allocation of resources to a degree. And, you know, we'll determine, you know, the financial ramification of it and go from there.
Yeah, let me step in on that. I'll have Bill III address revenues, but just at a very high level, yes, I would anticipate seeing payroll go down because of these investments. Bill?
Yeah, I mean, when we're still, you just finished the season, we've got a long off season to work through a bunch of things relative to budgeting for our revenues, and obviously we know that the payroll ends up being a function of revenues, not directly, but loosely. And we have our revenue challenges. We actually, on an attendance basis, budgeted pretty close to where we ended up. You know, we knew we were going to be down based on the team performance of last year. And it came in a little less than we had budgeted, but, you know, not dramatically. We finished it around 2.85 million in attendance, which for us isn't good, but for any other club might be pretty good when you look at it on a relative basis. So I think the real challenge for us revenue-wise is on the local media situation. As you know, there's a whole trend where there's a lot of cutting of the cord, of the cable bundle. and we've had our distribution challenges. The good news is it appears as though under almost every scenario we're looking at, the fans will hopefully have a direct-to-consumer product to get our games, basically an app where they can stream games for a fee. You're seeing that elsewhere throughout the league. So I'm really optimistic that, you know, working with Anouk here, many of you guys have met, our new VP of Business Operations, we're going to uncover every stone on the revenue side. Sports betting is something that we're hopeful will get passed in November, will help. But we're working very hard to figure out, kind of how to enter this new phase of local media challenges and come out better on the other side.
Katie Wu.
You know, I'm not sure I would agree with the assessment. There's been a concern for the years. We've done pretty well in drafting and developing players historically. I think the bar has risen, as Haim would say, and, you know, there's much more analytics now attached to it. You look at our team, and where did these players come from? You know, we've got, I think, I could be wrong about this, but I think I saw that our six young players played the most innings this year of any other team's six youngest players. So obviously we've had success in that model. And, but things move and change. And as Haim says, if you don't keep up, you're gonna fall behind. So this is a matter of catching up to a degree and building to a degree.
Would you say that catching up is more based on the need to improve technology and modernizing player development programs? Is that fair to say?
I'll let time answer that.
That's certainly part of it, I would say. Obviously, it's actually remarkable, even over the course of my career, just how much faster this arms race has gotten behind the scenes. And that doesn't mean every single new thing that comes into the game is something that you want to go all in on, but certainly a lot of things have been. And it really just comes out of 30 clubs competing to see how well they can develop players, how much better they can make these guys. So whether it's teaching methods, whether it's combining performance and medical and on-field coaching to achieve better outcomes, to individualize training more, whether it's data, whether it's equipment, all these things are brought to bear in different ways. I'm not sure I'd isolate any one area. And, as Bill said, obviously catching up is important, but we want to be able to set the tone. So we're not just going to be looking at, copying everybody else. We want to find our own way.
This is a question for the DeWitts. I wonder what message, and Bill, you just touched on with the revenue, what message the fans sent with the attendance, not just the tickets sold, but also the number of no-shows. And then if you could talk about how you kind of have to thread a needle here to get them back to the ballpark. So what's the messaging to sell them on what this is with the new direction? If it's a future team that you want to sell them, what's the reason to come in 2025?
Yeah, we're working on our game plan. We're doing a lot of work looking at ways to improve and freshen up the game day experience for our fans. We'll see some new things next year in that regard. We've got a really nice core of young players, so I don't think we're going to be short of marketing messages to our fans in terms of, what to look for and what to be excited about. I think also, this is something that we haven't really done in a long time, or at least in our tenure. So I think we're looking at different ways to market the product and the experiences of being down here. We're looking at every aspect of the operation, really, not just on the baseball side, but on the business side. I think we're very hopeful about where we are with our ability to reach fans and sell this team. But, you know, the reality is we're in a little bit different situation than we've been in the past. We've got a bunch of things we're working on for season ticket holders that creates what we think is a great value proposition, some additional things that, in addition to what we did last year even. So that would be my take on kind of the business side and the marketing side.
And Bill, on the baseball side, what did the crowds tell you? You 10 games, you see them, you saw the empty seats. What did that tell you about the baseball product?
Well, you know, we were out of contention as the season went on. We were in contention for quite a while. But, you know, when you think about it, we ended up winning 83 games. You know, there was a positive. Young players, as I mentioned, were a big part of that. And I think it's an exciting team to watch and to follow and to see the other young players that are going to be coming up. So, you know, if I were a fan, I'd be kind of excited for the future. I see what we have. I see what's coming. And, you know, change can be good.
Randy Kerr.
Bill, when you made managerial change with Mike, this is a quote that's made the rounds. Some places winning is just a winning record, but not in this city, not with this franchise. How do you reconcile the last 2 years of what's happening now with that comment?
Well, I don't withdraw that comment. That is expected in this city. And, you know, as I just said, you know, we won 83 games. That's a winning season. But it was below expectations for us and for our fans. So we're totally committed and all in on trying to reverse that and get back to the playoffs and hopefully go deep.
Marty, did you have one?
Yeah, for Cole and I, how do you determine player development? Maybe a guy does well, the minor level, gets the big leagues and doesn't pan out. There's been a number of examples, top picks, and don't quite hit it big, maybe they do elsewhere. How does that figure into whether it's at the minor league level or at the major league?
Yeah, I think just really at a high level, when we talk about the changes that we're hoping to see or the investments we're hoping to make, it's not a reflection on that we weren't doing it right. It's just the market's changing and how players prepare and play for games, that's moving. And we don't want to just be reactionary to it. In other words, you know, just practice best business practices. We really want to be out in front of this. And so we want to put a lot of time, energy, and money into being on that innovative side of maximizing player performance. You know, certainly when you look at the group right now of our top prospects, there's a lot to be excited about, not to mention we have five or six players on our current roster that are under 25. So I really feel like the overall vibe of what's happening in our organization is a lot more positive than maybe people are making it out to be. But ultimately, we know we can find better ways to do things, and that's ultimately our goal.
Is it staff? Is it technology? Is it both? Talk about maybe drill down a little bit for people that don't work yet.
Yeah, I mean, look, as Mo said, this whole thing is moving. It moves constantly. And if you want to be out in front of that curve, if you want to be the dynamic organization that this organization has been and has been for really, we're talking about 100 years at its best, you have to look at everything. There is no area of the game that just stands still. And so if you want to get out front, you should be looking at everything, not from the point of view of you know, placing blame or pointing fingers, but just saying, how can we do this the best? How can we win at this? How can we be better than the competition? And if you really want to do that, you got to look to do that in every area.
Okay, we're getting up on about 30 minutes here, but let's do a couple more. Len?
I'm curious to you, how much of that ability to shape the player development leadership going forward played into your willingness to take on this role and succession planning to follow?
Yes. You know, as Bill touched on, I just think it's a unique opportunity. You know, I'm obviously very excited with, you know, what's to come next year. But this is a chance to really kind of get in deep in this area. in a way that I just think is unique, you know, when you think about what comes after it, and it's really exciting. I mean, look, there's no area of this game that isn't interesting to me. You know, that's why I do this. That's why we all do this. We love it. And, you know, I think this challenge of basically taking all the energy that's here, and believe me, having gone around this year, having met our staff, there's a lot of energy there. There's a lot of energy that's been there. There's a lot more energy waiting to be unleashed. Like, I'm excited about that opportunity to help unleash it and help find, you know, how we how we get back out in front. That's part of the tradition of this organization, is innovation. A lot of these things that are a tradition now, they were new and different at one point when the St. Louis Cardinals started doing them. And our staff knows that. And I think there's a lot of excitement there, and it's a really cool opportunity for me to be up close with that group.
And
Fred,
Bill,
it sounds like
Tom
didn't have as playful with the player development side of things. What role, if any, do you want him to have in the major league side as he kind of has this transition year in terms of trades or major league roster decisions?
My question?
Yes, sir.
Well, obviously, the two of them are in the same front office, so clearly there will be discussions among all of us in those types of things. I mean, generally those situations aren't done unilaterally. You talk to your scouts, you talk to your staff, you talk to ownership on, you know, viability of what if it happens to be resources. So this isn't, you know, the kind of job where, you know, one person sitting in the office making calls and makes a deal. So, you know, nothing really changes there.
Okay, Brooke Grindley.
This goes for the DeWitts and for Jose Lock as well. Obviously, there's a re-emphasis here on player development. What do you feel like happened with player development over the years where you do have to re-emphasize it now and then?
My question?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, to be perfectly honest, we've had a pretty good run of young players coming through the system. But I would say in the last few years, not a ton of years, teams have beefed up and gotten more analytical. I think we were pretty much at the forefront a number of years ago and stayed there and, you know, went along and kept improving. But you know, the industry, I think, saw the value of going all in on player procurement, player development, and, you know, we were doing fine, and we're winning and having good teams. So, you know, we didn't really quite catch up.
Okay, I think we're going to wrap up here. We appreciate everyone's time. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today. And we're excited for the off season and the work ahead. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And all
Thanks.
Live transmission needs to cease now that we're done with the press conference. Thank you.
All right, guys, welcome back to live coverage on KMOX. So there you have it. We're all sitting here listening and making notes. Wheeler's tweeting. And so,
I did not tweet once.
Oh, good for you.
Too many notes to take. I'll tweet later.
That's progress.
Yeah.
So here's what we're going to do. Sit back and relax. Going to take a nice long break here, get some commercials. And then when we come back, we'll be talking to Bernie Miklas. We'll be getting some analysis from Wheeler and from Pauly. And later on in the show, Derek Gould's going to join us. Going to be very Cardinals heavy for the next hour and a half or so. So welcome to Cardinals Nation on KMOX. Be right back.
Back, guys. DGS on KMOX 235.
So that was about a 30-minute press conference. Covered a lot of ground there. I still have questions left. I don't know why I was making notes. Wheeler sitting here typing like a madman. Let's talk to Bernie Miklas. Bernie, I'm just going to let you lead the whole thing off, and you take it where you want to go.
Well, it was good to hear everyone discuss what the exact plans were. You know, I'm not going to say it was a mystery. We had kind of, because of some great reporting done by Katie Wu and Derek Gould, we were able to figure out exactly where this was going to go. But it was still good to hear all the people involved speak to it and speak out on it and describe it and explain the roles and explain who's going to be doing what and what the primary objective is. And listen, I'm not going to sit here and be a phony from the standpoint that, you know, I thought maybe Bill DeWitt would have done better to turn the thing over to Chaim Bloom. And part of that is I just think because it would be better for his business. And I think it would make the fans happy because you're going to turn it over to Chaim Bloom anyway. But I'm also one of the kind of people that looks at it this way. Okay, they made their decision. I expressed my dissent. But now what I care about is, all right, are they going to be able to get this done? Like, what are the chances they're taking on an endeavor they haven't done in a very, very, very long time, which is like completely redo their player development minor league system and just pour a tremendous amount of resources into it. And it is a massive undertaking, and it's long overdue. And I'm really excited to see just how good Chaim Bloom is at this, because his reputation is that he is great at this. And it's exciting to just think about the possibilities of how strong the Cardinals will become again in the area of player development, because that was such a strong area for decades. And then it just kind of fell apart. So this is going to be something new and exciting. It's not going to be for everybody, because you won't have the instant gratification. They're not going to be like spending a bunch of money on free agents. So with some fans, some media, it'll be kind of a buzzkill, because this will be a totally different type of offseason. But my point is that it's really, really overdue for them to have this kind of offseason, because they've been muddling around at the same level now for a while, where, okay, maybe if everything breaks right, you win 86 games, you make the playoffs, maybe you win 82, is that enough? You know, they need to get away from that trajectory and move to a higher trajectory. And the only way to do that is to redevelop your player development system in your minor leagues, because they're way behind the industry.
So, Bernie, four words from Mo that just kind of got thrown in there. I think he actually was kind of off mic when he said it, but payroll will go down.
Right. I think that's natural. It's what I totally expected, because when you're going to change your operating model because you have to catch up and you have to get even with the rest of the industry, but as they said, even try to get ahead of people again, nothing is to be gained by throwing money around on like half measure free agents that might get you a few more wins, but they're really not going to change your team's ability to contend for a pennant or a World Series. So you're sort of loading up the payroll with all these kind of mid-range players that frankly don't move the needle all that much. So what is the wisdom of continuing down that path when you can have better payroll efficiency going forward? And you're also going to use this time, as they should, to find out exactly what they have with all these young hitters and these young pitchers, and to make big decisions about whether they're going to be a big part of the season or the coming seasons. And the only way to do that is to let them play all the time, let them pitch all the time, instead of wasting money on these free agents that are okay, they're fine, they're solid, but they do not in any way make you a world championship contender.
Yeah, and I think it should be pointed out, too, and you know this, Bernie, but I want to point it out to the listeners, because I can already hear that I'm getting questions on Twitter, and I can hear the questions, well, does this mean that they're going to be trading Arenado or Contreras? It doesn't necessarily mean that. Just by not bringing back guys that can go to free agency, they can save $60, $70 million. You know, I mean, Paul Goldschmidt is $26 million that they don't need to spend next year, because he didn't do much for your record. You can replace that. Kyle Gibson was a valuable player this year, but as you're talking about, they have candidates in-house that can do what he did for the league minimum, like McGreevy and guys like that, right? Same thing with Lance Lynn. Those two combined, that's $24 million. Keenan Middleton is $6 million or $5 million. He didn't pitch.
I don't know who that is.
Right, he was hurt, and Gallegos was $5 million. So if you just look at this and say the team that ended the year, you just take away Paul Goldschmidt, all those other guys leaving, that is a gigantic reduction in payroll that leaves you room to still add and also bring the payroll down. So I just wanted to be clear, because that doesn't necessarily mean we're looking at some kind of fire sale or that Helsley's going to be gone because he's in arbitration. It's important to understand what that means in terms of where they are now in payroll.
Wheels,
I'll be brief. I do think, however, it would be in their best interest to explore to see what kind of trade market there is out there for these guys.
Sure, sure.
Because if especially if Chaim Bloom is involved, they may be able to really make some trades that set them up very, very nicely.
Right.
For 2026, 2027. So they wouldn't be doing their jobs if they didn't explore that.
Correct. But the point, I guess the point I'm trying to make is that they don't have to do that. They can do what will yield what you're talking about, which is that great return. And if you get that great return, wonderful. And there may be some other guys. We've talked about it already, Bernie. Do you find a way to get somebody to take all or some of Michaelis's contract? Nobody's taking all of it. That's a pipe dream. But, you know, do you find ways to move off of him or Steven Matz and some other, again, guys that are making money that didn't really impact the win-loss column in a positive way?
No, they. There's always a market for innings guys who throw a lot of innings, like a Michaelis. But they're going to have to eat a ton of that salary.
Right.
But
right.
You know, but the bottom line is they would move on from him and give that an opportunity to a younger starter, because they got some young pitchers on the way that are really close and who were legit as far as prospects. So yeah. We'll see what happens there. But listen. I just keep going back to one thing, because people forget about how the Cardinals became one of the great franchises in sports. And it was because Bill DeWitt many moons ago hired Jeff Luhnow to come in to redo everything in terms of scouting, drafting, player development, instruction, opening up an academy in the Dominican Republic, international scouting. I mean, he revolutionized the way the Cardinals were doing their business, and he put in a whole new model that sustained them at a highly successful rate for many, many, many years. And they let it slip. They let it deteriorate. They let it erode. And now they sort of have to do this all over again. But for I would just appeal to people from this standpoint. Like, this worked. This worked incredibly well when Bill DeWitt took this initiative in the early aughts. It set them up for a prosperous future. Bill DeWitt's trying to do this again. And in my opinion, he's bringing in the right guy to do this again, because Chaim Bloom, his specialty is player development and some other things, but especially player development, minor league system. Also, judging value for players, where mm-hmm. you don't spend $15 million on a player where you can get someone just as good for $6 million. Like, he's really good at that type of thing. So, I mean, I know what the cynicism is like. All right. I'm a cynic myself. But when it comes to this, I know what Bill DeWitt did before, and I know how well it worked. And he's now trying to do it again. We can fuss about he took too long to come to this part. That's true. We could fuss about the fact that Mo's going to be back in his chair for another year. There's things we can fuss about. But if anyone who dismisses this is like, oh, they're cheap. You know, they're just trying to find an excuse to cut payroll. All due respect, you could not be more incorrect with that. I mean, you're entitled to be frustrated. You could not be more incorrect by assuming that this is some kind of cynical, hey, we're gonna cut the payroll and they're not gonna know about it. We're gonna get away with it. It's nothing like that at all. They desperately need to replenish their player development system, and with all of the resources that have not been put into this for a long time.
All right, that's Bernie Michaelis. Kevin Wheeler is here, obviously. Every day we'll be talking to Kevin and Bernie on the other side. Derek Gould is going to join us in the 4 p.m. hour. Don't go away. Big Cardinals news. Be right back.
With your ghost.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, few minutes shy of 3 p.m. At 3 p.m., we're going to take your phone calls. So you know how phones work and clocks work. So just when we get to the top of the hour, you want to call in 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Bernie Michaelis with us for one more segment. Bernie, you talked about how if you want to, you can find stuff to fuss about. What was the best thing you heard that gave you the most hope? And what would you really like to have heard that you didn't?
Well, I thought I really wanted to hear from Chaim Bloom, and that's no that's no disrespect intended to Mr. DeWitt or John Mozeliak, but we kind of know where they're coming from. We haven't had a chance as fans and as media to really have just an opportunity to listen to Chaim Bloom and what he sees. And I'm aware of his background. I've been doing so much research on why he's so good at what he does, and a lot of people don't take the time to understand what happened in Boston. That's fine, but just to hear him communicate his vision for getting the Cardinals caught up in player development and just bringing them into the modern age in so many different ways. This is a guy who absolutely knows precisely how to do that. And just to hear the voice and the enthusiasm go with what I know is a really smart baseball mind, that was the part that I really liked. It was more of a general thing than any one thing that he said. Okay, what did I not hear that I would have liked to have heard? I think I would have liked to have had more of an explanation about why Bill DeWitt believed so much in John Mozeliak to give him that final season as the man in charge. And did he think that perhaps from a business standpoint, because there's a lot of fan unrest, that that would sort of hurt the brand to do that? And that's a harsh thing to say, but we're adults here. We, you know, let's speak to the truth about the fact that even Mo jokes around about how unpopular he is. So I would have liked to have heard more on that, actually.
Let me ask you one more question before I go back to Wheels. So something I didn't quite understand, you were touching on it at the end of that last segment about you have young guys, you play them every day, you don't use mediocre older guys that are $15 million a year. But when Mr. DeWitt was kind of bragging, kind of flexing about our six youngest players had the most playing time of the six youngest players on any other team, what I wrote down was because you don't have better older players. Am I missing it too?
No, actually, you're making me laugh, but that's a good thing. That's an endorsement because I'm laughing at what you said, because I felt roughly the same thing because, you had so many openings and you had so many holes that it did create opportunities for younger hitters. And some of them were really good, like Mason Wynn. Some of them were not good. But it doesn't mean that they've hit a dead end. I mean, there's a potential for them, Walker, Gorman, things like that. And there's a lot more there with Nootbaar as well. That you can see that there's talent there. They have to find a way to get it out of them. And that's another thing today we didn't hear. And maybe in the sort of after the press conference when people break out into groups, whether the coaching staff is going to change and whether – and we know that Ali Marmol's coming back. But I cannot believe that they would bring the same coaching staff back. To me, that would be – you got to be kidding me. That would be one thing I would say. Well, they still haven't learned from what's happened over the last year or so.
Yeah, so my favorite thing that came out of this, guys, was just the public acknowledgement that they haven't had it right, that they need to change. Because for a long time, they've always pushed back against change, as if the older ways of doing things would come back around again. So I know it's a broad thing, but that's my favorite thing. My least favorite thing, and I understand maybe it's due to time constraints, right? Because you're doing all of this in a half an hour, and everybody there only gets one question. So we may get to this in the follow-ups, right? Because Matt Pauley's over there doing interviews, and Derek Gould and Katie, everybody's going to be talking in more depth to all the players, the main players here, DeWitt, Mozeliak, and Bloom. But the one thing I didn't hear that I wanted to, I want to hear more about how you're going to help major league players be better. When they're struggling, how are we going to get them better? How are we going to change somebody's pitch mix if it's not working? How are we going to fix Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker so we don't have to send them down? That's I don't know what that answer would even look like, but I really wish there was more on that, and hopefully we'll get it.
I think, to your point, you're absolutely right. I think this is where Chaim Bloom comes in because, again, I know that he's being cast as the guy that's going to implement all the recommendations he made after studying this problem for months and months and months, talking about the minor leagues and player development. But it doesn't just end there. I know for a fact, talking to some people who work for the Cardinals, that the Cardinals are way behind at the major league level too in terms of technology, analytics, staffing. And Chaim Bloom will get the major league club. He'll get them totally up to speed in terms of the available technology that really does help young hitters. And by the way, us 60-year-olds or whatever, you know, we can grouse about analytics all we want. All this technology, you know, yeah, go ahead and grouse about it. But every single young hitter and pitcher love this stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're sort of raised on this stuff. And then they get to the major leagues or the high minors, and that stuff's not there. Like literally in high school, they may have had better things to rely on as far as tools, right? So I know that we old folks are going to grouse about it. I'm tired of hearing about analytics. Well, maybe you are, but it's a huge part of the game, and the Cardinals are lagging way behind even at the major league level. So it's about time that they change that, and they have to change it. And Chaim Bloom, who understands it as well as anybody, will put them back in the forefront of this.
Perfect day to have Bernie Mickelson. Bernie, thank you. Why don't you end up with telling us about your friends at Saliga?
You got it, man. Oh, thanks for having me, man. I always love coming on.